For more, let's bring in Michelle Oberman. She's a law professor at Santa Clara University and author of the 2018 book, Her Body, Our Laws. Professor, what stood out to you in the arguments this morning?
What I thought was most interesting was Justice Roberts' questions that suggested an interest in trying to find a compromise position of hanging on to the 15 weeks as a cutoff. And the reason why I thought that was most interesting is because it's indefensible and was quickly revealed as such by arguments on both sides. And honestly, there's no stopping point. So if you set it at 15 weeks, there's no reason why other states wouldn't quickly come in with laws that suggested 9 weeks or 6 weeks or conception.
Interesting. So let's go with a scenario then in which the Mississippi law is upheld and it is a sweeping enough decision that it effectively overturns Roe and Casey. What do you see happening next? How immediately would access to abortion change in Mississippi and elsewhere?
So let's start by observing that access to abortion is already fairly limited in states like Mississippi and in, you know, throughout much of the southeastern United States. There are not a lot of places where one can go to terminate a pregnancy. But what the immediate effect is that then there's the imposition of the risk of criminal liability on the woman who's pregnant and on anybody who assists her. So very quickly, what we end up with is a completely stratified system where those with money are going to be able to travel to the states where it remains legal to end a pregnancy. And those who don't have the funds are going to be forced into continuing pregnancy or forced into resorting to online abortion medications and ending pregnancies on their own, possibly risking prosecution.
I mean, to your point about the limited access in Mississippi, as an example, there's only one clinic that provides abortion services there. Do you think that if the Mississippi law is upheld, that clinic would be able to stay in business?
I don't imagine that it would have to close for the duration of the time that 15 weeks remains the standard. I think it would be just a matter of time until the clinic ended up closing because the law ended up moving the line back from 15 weeks. When you talk to folks who are truly opposed to abortion, you quickly realize that they're opposed to not just abortion, but to many contraceptions that they believe would somehow interfere with the development of life. And so it's not just that they're coming for an abortion at 15 weeks, they're coming for contraception.
And presumably opposed to pills, for example, that could induce an abortion as well. Would you see that as a viable option going forward, or do you see a threat to that as well?
Well, so yeah, I mean, what's interesting about the world of abortion medications is what we can learn from countries around the world where abortion is illegal, which is that they're widely used and quite effectively to end unwanted pregnancies, and that the law has been unable to figure out a way of curtailing the supply of those drugs or of prosecuting those who use those drugs. I mean, misoprostol, which is the, you know, half of the effective ingredients in the abortion pills that we use here, is widely available online. You can buy it for around $2 a pill. There's no way at this point in time to differentiate a miscarriage brought on by the drugs as opposed to a naturally occurring miscarriage. And so what we'll see happening here is the rapid escalation of a market that already is present in this country of folks ordering drugs online and ending their pregnancies safely at home that way.
And Professor, we know that people all over the country, not just in Mississippi, are watching this case closely. In fact, a dozen states have moved to automatically ban abortion if Roe is overturned without even having to call a special legislative session. So how do you see both sides of the abortion debate gearing up for whatever comes next?
The first thing that'll happen, I think, for folks who are newly emboldened abortion opponents is that they'll immediately start trying to figure out ways to enforce their laws on the assumption that making abortion illegal matters in some practical way. I think what's going to be interesting is how they respond to the fact that abortion rates don't drop and that the laws are so hard to enforce. I think on the other side, the pro-choice advocates will quickly move into an information and access battle that endeavors, I think, to have as many folks as possible understand how to use abortion medications, how to access them safely, how to know how much to take, how to discern how far along you are in your pregnancy. And so that digital battle, which will be, I think, supported by organizations like Women on Web and Plan C, will hopefully avert some of the catastrophes that accompanied illegal abortion prior to Roe v. Wade. So we'll sort of see both sides moving quickly into new spheres of activism. I imagine the fight in the courts will continue, but I think it'll quickly become apparent that abortion is not simply about whether or not it's legal, that that's just one of many, many questions, and that abortion itself doesn't disappear when it becomes illegal.
Michelle Oberman is a professor of law at Santa Clara University. Thank you.
Thank you so much.